when I say that it is my honor to be here, to be invited to speak where, to me, I have truly beheld the grace of God. I thank the Lord for that which He's done in this place. And truly, I pray that this weekend is truly blessed by the Lord to the calling out and the comfort of His people. For you are the men I look forward to hearing what the Lord's laid on your heart, Paul. I pray that tonight, that truly we might worship. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Genesis 24. The Lord spoke to two men on the road to Emmaus, and set forth for us all to rest in what I'm about to say. These scriptures are concerning Him. And if we see not Him, then we see not correctly. There is a conversation that's going to take place between a man named Abraham and his eldest servant. Abraham, a man loved of God, called of God, led by God, kept by God, has come to the latter part of his life, and he suffered many trials. He was blessed in these sufferings to behold the sustaining grace of God, and in his trials, we've profited, beholding what the Lord was pleased to do through this, his servant. One of, I'm sure, the greatest trials that he was called to suffer was when the Lord told Abraham to take his son, his only son, Isaac, the son that he loved, and to take him to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that the Lord would show him. And in that suffering, those 3 days that Abraham was called to travel with that boy, the servants, the ass. And they came to the place, and oh, the blessing of these words. He told the two men, "You stay here, and the lad and I will go yonder, and we're going to worship. We're going to worship." That boy in Abraham's heart was dead. But in that blessed account, when he brought that boy, bound him, laid him upon that altar, and raised that knife, and the Lord stopped him, "Abraham, Abraham. Don't do the boy any harm." Turned and saw a ram caught in a thicket. Do we not behold the glory of substitution? Beholding the glory of God. Christ bearing our sin, being made sin for us. Later, Abraham's wife, Sarah, died. And Abraham wanted to buy a burial place. He wanted to buy a cave, the cave of Machpelah, a cave that the owner offered to give him. He said, I'll give it to you, Abraham. And Abraham refused to take the cave at no cost. He said, no, I want to know the market value of that piece of property. Whatever the full payment is. And the owner told him, he said, well, it's 400 shekels of silver, but what's that to us? And Abraham counted him out, counted out the money, witnessed it. Everything was secured. And in that cave, not only Sarah was buried, but Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah and Leah. But in that purchase of that cave in which they were buried, did we not see beautifully in type and shadow the full purchase price of our eternal rest in the Lord Jesus Christ? What did it cost? What was the full price of that cost? The blood of the Lord Jesus. Well now, Abraham, the scripture says in verse 1 of Genesis 24, was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him, blessed Abraham in all things. Now we saw how in Abraham's life, that beautiful picture of substitution, we saw in that suffering that he endured with his wife's passing, the purchase of that cave and rest. And now we're going to behold, Abraham is going to send his servant to find a bride for Isaac. But in that sending of his servant, we're going to see how the Lord calls out his sheep. This is what we're going to look. Lord willing, I want to look at verses 1 to 9. This whole chapter is such a beautiful chapter. But I'm going to try to hold it to 9 verses. And we want to just see, how does God call out his sheep? He was about 140 years old. And the scripture says, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Look, turn back to Genesis 13:2. I know he blessed him materially. Scripture says, Genesis 13:1-2, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. The Lord had blessed him. He blessed him materially. He had. But look at chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the words of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What a promise. I'm your shield. And I am your reward. Verse 2, 3, and 4. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, God of earth, of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, according to Abraham's word, Isaac was going to have a bride. And she was going to be sought out. She was going to be found in a way that magnified the deep, blessed counsel, will, and purpose of Almighty God. Oh, but the picture here, the type. Remember, the Lord expounded unto them in all the Scriptures those things concerning Himself. The Lord has a bride. Abraham was going to have a bride found for Isaac, his son. Scripture says the kingdom of heaven, this is Matthew 22:2. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage, which prepared it for his son. He's going to have a bride, but he's going to be specific here. He said, I want you to put your hand under my thigh, and I'll make thee swear by the... You see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? By Jehovah. Father, Son, Spirit. I want you to swear by the covenant God. The God of heaven, the God of earth. He's going to send him to get a bride. But don't take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Go to my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Almighty God is going to save a people of His affection and His love. And He's going to save them totally by grace, apart from any work on her part. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He's not going to look to the bride for anything. She is the bride of His Son. She's always been. Turn with me to Hosea 2. She's always been His bride. Hosea chapter 2, 19 and 20. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and loving kindness and mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Look at verse 12. I'm sorry. Forgive me on that. No. He's got a bride. He's going to have her. He's going to save her. And you know the way He's going to save her? He's going to save her by power. John 17, 1 and 2. John chapter 17. Our Lord's high priestly prayer. What is the surety of the bride being found and saved? John 17, 1 and 2. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. So, here's Abraham. He's got his servant, and he tells his servant, I want you to put your hand under my thigh. This was obviously a practice of a binding oath that's going to be made between Abraham and his servant. He's going to make him swear. I want you to swear. Swear by the Lord, God of heaven and earth. Find a wife. Don't take it from among the Canaanites, those that are accursed. But you go to my country. You go to my kindred. And you find a bride for my son. Now, here's what he's telling. He said, I want you to go to the place where God was pleased to show mercy to me. You go to my country. But now, what is the picture here? What are we called to do as preachers of the gospel? What has the Lord commissioned us to do? He said, now I want you to go to my country. Go to my kindred. Where is the country of the Lord? Where is the country of the Lord? The Lord told His disciples in Mark 16:15, He said, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. Where do we go? We're going to go wherever the Lord opens a door for us to go. We're going to preach the gospel of God's grace. And in this servant that's being sent, surely I see, for sure we see the Spirit of God. But do we not see the ministers? Now, there's five of other men that's going to be standing here, Lord willing, and preaching. Five other men is going to preach. And do you know what we've been commissioned to do? You find a bride for my son. Turn with me to Romans 10. You find, this is what we do. We're going to find a bride. And we don't know who she is. We don't know who she is. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So here's what we know. We know that God's sheep are scattered. They're all over the world. They're in every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. And so we're told to, you go unto my country. And as the Lord's servants, that's exactly what we're doing. We're preaching. Turn with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah chapter 62. The Lord's bride's out there. He said He's got a bride. Isaiah 62, 1 to 4. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see the righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Now turn to verse 12. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. We know that the bride's there. We know she's there, Tony. We know. So what are we going to do? The Lord has commissioned His preachers. You go seek a bride for my wife, for my son. Abraham's thought was concerning Isaac. It's good. And the Heavenly Father's will and purpose in the calling out of the bride of Christ is to the praise of His glory and grace in His Son. Listen, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Having heard that word concerning the seeking out of the bride, that word is going to be sealed with an oath. The servant, before he made the oath, Abraham's telling him, he said, now I'm going to want you to put your hand under my thigh and you swear to me. You swear to me that you'll go and you'll find a bride for my son. Don't go to the camp. Don't go to the cursed. God's got an elect. God's got a people. And those are the ones He's going to save. I know He is. Don't go to the cursed. We don't know who she is. We don't know the elect. We don't know the cursed. We don't know. We know we're to preach the gospel. That's what we know. But we're commissioned to do something. You go and find the bride. And this servant asks a question that truly is a question that we need to consider for a moment. And ask ourselves what is being asked right here. Look at verse 5. And the servant said unto him. Now he's heard him. He's heard him. Now don't go to the Canaanites. You go to my country. You go to my kindred. And you find the bride for my wife, for my son. Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from which thou camest? Now, he's saying this. If I can't find a bride that's willing to come merely from hearing the report that I'm going to give concerning Isaac, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell her about Isaac. That's what she's going to know. Now, if she's not willing to leave her home, leave her family for your son, well, then do I need to bring Isaac back to where you came from? Now we're dealing now with a bride that doesn't know the son. Never seen him. All she's going to know is what she hears about the son. And she's going to have to come willingly. But he said, what if she doesn't? What if she doesn't come? What if she doesn't want to come? Do I bring Isaac back here? Now just consider for a moment the implication of what he's asking. Where did Abraham come from? Well, somebody said, well, he came out of Ur of the Chaldees. Let's go look back a little bit more. Turn with me to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verses 1 to 3. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges, for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And here's what he's asking. I'm to go and find a bride. I'm to give the bride, the potential bride, the report concerning your son. What if she doesn't want to willingly come? Do I take your son and bring him back where God took you from? Here's what we're saying. If it's not by the grace of God, then in order to get a bride, do I just go back to will worship and idol worship, worshiping self? Do I take him back to where you came from? And Abraham said in verse 6, Abraham said unto him, Beware. Beware that thou bring not my son thither. Isaac is the son of Abraham. The father has a son. The eternal generation of the only begotten son. And all that is Abraham's is Isaac's. Abraham believed God. What if she won't come willingly? Do I bring him back? Look at verse 7. And here's what he said. When he told him, verse 6, you beware that thou bring not my son thither. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this oath. Only bring not my son thither again. God's sheep are heirs of God. You know what that just says? What that says? God is their inheritance. He told Abraham. He said, I am your shield. I am your great and exceeding reward. And they are joint heirs with Christ. And they shall come to the Lord Jesus. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If she's not willing to come, is there an alternative? No. 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 If she doesn't come willingly, you're clear of this oath. But don't you bring my son back to where I came from. God chose a bride in Christ before the foundation of the world. Brother John, that's what you just read. Blessed her with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Abraham said, God swore to me. He gave me his word. A kingdom has been prepared for God's sheep before the foundation of the world. Christ has redeemed them by his blood. Verse 8 again, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, here's the promise we have. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Abraham's servant was to seek out a bride by telling her about Isaac. He told of Isaac before Rebekah. I want you to look. I know I'm in first nine verses. I know, but I got to go here. Chapter 24, verse 34, 36. Genesis 24, verse 34. And he said, I'm Abraham's servant. You know, Abraham's a picture of the Father. What a blessing. He said, I'm Abraham's servant. You know what God's people say? I'm God's servant. I'm God's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master. And when she was old and unto him, hath he given all that he hath. He said, I'm here to find a wife for my master's son. And he has everything. Everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Matthew 11:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power to finish the work of salvation is in his hands. When he said, it is finished. And we have a report. I got a report. I'm here to tell you about the Son. About God's Son. I'm telling you that he's got a bride. And he's going to have her. I'm going to proclaim unto you that he is God Almighty. I'm going to tell you who he is. He's the Redeemer. He's the Substitute. He's the King. He's the great High Priest. I'm going to tell you all that I know. All that I can. You know how faith is going to come? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. He said, beware that you bring not my son thither. You tell her about Isaac. That's what you do. Abraham sent his servant to fetch a bride. Just like Mephibosheth was fetched. Is there any left of the house of Saul, that I might show mercy to him for Jonathan's sake? Well, there's one boy, lame on both his feet. He's over in Lodibar. You fetch him. Go get him. That's what we're doing. Fetch him. Is there any alternative? You remember that crowd? Turn over to John. I'm going to wrap this up. John 6. You remember in John 6 of the crowd that was following the Lord? And John 6. And they were following the Lord, and the Lord said something. And it was concerning his sovereignty, God's sovereignty. He said in verse 65 of John 6, and they were following him, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now what he's done is he's put all the glory and honor and praise on the Father. And he's given the people none, no honor, no glory. No man can. No man has the ability. No man has a power. No man has a will. No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? They walked away. You want to go away? What if the woman won't come? What if she won't come willingly? Do I bring Abraham? Do I change? Do I bring Isaac back? No. They walked with him no more. The Lord turned to his disciples and said, will you walk away too? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The gospel is the proclamation of the glory of Almighty God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only message that God's going to bless to the calling out of his sheep. And his people, thy sheep shall be willing. Paul wrote a writing to the letter Thessalonica. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, 14, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The elder servant went and told the family, and we'll stop with this, told the family about Isaac. And it came time for him to go. He's going back. Now, what if she's not willing? If she's not willing, you clear the oath. But don't bring my son back. Don't bring him where I came from. Back in Genesis 24, verse 4, it's coming to the time now. She's heard what he said about Isaac. She's heard the report of who Isaac's daddy is, who Isaac's mama is, what Isaac has. She's heard everything about Isaac. He's getting ready to leave, and his family wants to kind of buy a little bit more time, what they're doing. Genesis 24, verse 54 to 59. And they did eat, drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. They rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, well, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, well, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And then they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I pray God bless this to our hearts.